Well, good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
And welcome to another service here at Unity Center of Light, located in Bowie, Maryland. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
And we say welcome to everyone who might be looking at this for the very first time. And to let you know that on Sundays at 10:30, we have a Zoom fellowship service where you can actually come in and listen to this message, listen to the meditation, listen to music. We actually have discussion about the message. If you have questions about any part of it, you get to interact with other Unity folks. And it's really, a lot of people find it very rewarding because you hear the lesson, but not always, might have questions about it. And that's where you get to hear a broader perspective on the lesson. So if you'd like to be part of that Zoom fellowship service, 10:30 on Sunday mornings, please check your e-newsletter or your weekly update. Now, if you're new to this channel and you're not getting either one of those, you can go to unitycenteroflight.org and sign up so that we can invite you into the Zoom session. So, and also we are very thankful for all the folks who have been supporting Unity Center of Light financially. And if you're new again and you're inspired by this message, we invite you to donate to Unity so we can continue the work we're doing. And also, if you're watching this on YouTube, you can click on the Show More button down below, and it'll show you all the ways you can give. And we are very grateful for all your donations. Also, again, if you like this message and you think you would like more of them, and you're not subscribed, just click on that subscribe little symbol down in the lower right-hand corner of the screen. And if you like the message, give us a like, thumbs up, and you can leave a comment. We appreciate all of that. But right now, we're going to get started with Pamela.
Thank you. Well, good morning, Unity family, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop and fully express their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine identity. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. Now let's affirm our foundation statement. Together, there is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the good, omnipotent. Amen. And now we have the daily word reading for today, Sunday, September the 3rd. The key word is refresh, and the affirmation is honoring the divine presence within, I am refreshed. Stretching and yawning after a good sleep, enjoying a brisk walk in the early morning, or sipping a replenishing drink after a workout or time in the sun, I feel refreshed. I move forward into my next activity with a renewed feeling of well-being. Building upon and refreshing my knowledge may relieve me from thinking too much about my obligations. Spending time with a good book or revisiting favorite passages from my favorite writing can give me a relaxing mental pause. I find many opportunities to refresh my awareness that God, the divine presence, is within me wherever I am, whatever I am doing. It takes only a moment to find God's presence reflected in the people and animals I encounter and in the natural beauty that surrounds me. The scripture is Romans 15:32, and it reads, "So that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company." Amen. And now we will have the Sunday message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon.
You're welcome.
So today we're going to be talking about the secret meaning of prayer according to Jesus. Now, in conjunction with Unity's World Day of Prayer, which is September 13th and 14th, Unity Center of Light is acknowledging September as Prayer Month, okay? So in preparation for this month of prayer, we're going to review some of the basic principles of prayer as they are presented in the Lord's Prayer. And we will be reviewing and expanding on ideas explored in previous messages for the purpose of bringing to the forefront of our mind what was taught in those lessons. Okay? So the resources for this lesson comes from The Secret According to Jesus by Edward Townsley. and Setting a Trap for God, the Aramaic Prayer of Jesus by Dr. Rocco Errico. Now, Dr. Errico explains in his book, the Aramaic Prayer of Jesus contains a series of harmonies and rhythms that align us with spiritual forces within and around us. The Galilean master teacher taught his disciples to tap into the inexhaustible source and power he called Abba, God. This source has always been accessible for everyone in every age. It is a way of health, peace, prosperity, and enlightenment, okay? And we're really going to expand on these ideas through this talk. And, you know, it is this inexhaustible source of divine power that we're learning how to tap into by exploring the deeper meaning of the teachings of Jesus, okay? Now, in terms of Jesus, he's often referred to as an idealist rather than a pragmatist, okay? Now, let's spend a few moments trying to understand the difference between these two concepts, idealist versus pragmatist, because this may help us in our own view of what Jesus' teachings mean to us in our own individual mind, okay? So an idealist is a person who is guided more by ideals rather than practical consideration. An example of a practical consideration being, how do I apply these teachings in my everyday life? Okay, that's the practical question we would ask, or pragmatic question we might ask. So not being able to figure out how to apply to our life the teachings of Jesus or other great masters can cause some of us to consider the teachings to be idealistic, naive, impractical, out of touch, you know, with our everyday reality, okay? So on the other hand, a pragmatist is considered a person who is guided more by practical considerations than by ideals. This is someone who deals with life situations in a way that seem sensible to the conditions they are confronted with, rather than following what seems like metaphysical or esoteric teachings. Okay, and I hope you can feel where I'm coming from. You know, if you think about it, we're more likely to live our lives based on a pragmatic approach rather than an idealistic approach. For example, consider the teachings in Matthew 6:25-34, and ask yourself, is this pragmatic or idealistic? It says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Now, as much as we would love to live this way, ideally, with God as our pilot and we as God's co-pilot, we may have moments where we will try out this idealistic theory, but usually it isn't very long before we will snatch the wheel back from God and try to steer our own way through the challenges in our lives, okay? So our goal in these lessons is to keep increasing our faith and confidence in God as the pragmatic, practical, underlying, unchangeable truth that guides us in our lives, okay? And again, let me just say, whereas we might have thought at times that following these teachings are idealistic, we want to get to a point where they are actually pragmatic, they're practical, okay? Because the truth is, God is in us as the absolute good. It is ready to spring forth in every aspect of our lives. So our work is to change our thinking about God's presence in our life and affairs from being idealistic to being pragmatic. And in the context of this lesson, it means that in every situation, we would feel and know that God's way is the sensible, pragmatic way of living our lives. Okay? God's way being the way of faith and peace and love and great joy that comes from an inner knowing expressed within us as divine intuition, okay? So in other words, instead of, you know, God's divine intuition, this guidance that we get from within, instead of us thinking that as idealistic, we want to get to a point where it's pragmatic. It is practical for me to be open and receptive to God's living spirit of truth flowing through me and guiding me through every situation, okay? And just as it is expressed in Proverbs 3:6-7, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to God, and God will make your path straight. Okay? And we get to this spiritual, pragmatic God way of living our lives through continuous prayer. Okay? Continuous prayer, constantly being in a prayer-minded state, helps us to begin to live the pragmatic God way of living. Okay? Now, I came across an interesting explanation of this verse in Matthew 26, 24. So the in scripture says, watch and pray so that you will not enter into temptation. Okay? This little saying that I came across, it says, watching without praying is like getting a diagnosis without a prescription. And praying without watching is like being in a pharmacy without knowing what's wrong with you, right? Now, like I said, I came across that and found it fascinating, and I wanted to stick it in. But we're going to unpack that, you know, figure out what that really is saying in our Sunday Zoom fellowship service during our discussion time. But right now, let's explore why continuous prayer is necessary. See, the root word of prayer in Aramaic is slutha, S-L-O-T-H-A, okay, which comes from a root word which means to trap or to set a trap. Thus, according to Dr. Errico, prayer in its initial sense implies that when we are praying, we are setting a trap in our mind so that we can catch the thoughts of God, okay? In this way, as the divine guidance and divine impulses percolate up, you know, into our conscious mind from within us, if we are in a state of prayer mindedness, we are able to capture God thought so that we can contemplate it and then implement it in the situations in our lives. Hopefully that made sense, okay? So I like this idea that we're setting this trap because God thought is always flowing. It's sort of like when you turn on a faucet and water's running out. If you want that water that's coming out now, you got to catch it, okay? You have to trap it. So what is happening, we're doing the same thing in our mind. We're setting a trap in our mind. We're being open and receptive. And when that thought comes in, we're going to capture that God thought so we can contemplate it and then figure out how to implement it in the situations in our lives. And this is what it's like to live the pragmatic God life, meaning that living by truth principles actually becomes the practical way for us to live and be. Okay. So let's look at how the how-tos of the prayer process. Now, in the beginning of this lesson, we mentioned that in the Aramaic prayer of Jesus, there are a series of harmonies and rhythms that align us with spiritual forces in and around us. Okay? So Dr. Errico calls these harmonies and rhythms attunements. Now the word attunement means to bring our spirit, soul, mind, and body into a perfect harmonious relationship with God. Okay? It is the same idea as the prayer we've talked about before, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit, soul, mind, and body. Okay? Now, most prayers are typically self-centered, meaning they're based on what we believe we need God to do for us or give to us so that we can be happy. Okay? The Lord's Prayer, however, is completely God-centered. When you pray, Father, into thy hands I commit, it is not about you. It is about your relinquishing you for the sake of being completely open and available to become attuned or harmonized with the rhythm that God is, right? And that's what we're working on. So the author of the book, The Secrets According to Jesus by Ed Townsley, he explains the Lord's Prayer begins and ends with a conscious understanding that God does not have what we want. God does not have what we want, but rather God is what we want, all right? And what we want, whether or not we know it, is to come to know our divine connection with God, our oneness with God. Because in that state of oneness, anything that we think we want will be revealed to us. Okay, that's sort of the process. So it's like, again, you're setting your consciousness to be a trap to capture that which God is always giving. Okay, if you're not setting a trap, if you're not in a prayerful state of mind, God gives and it just gets away because we did not trap it. We did not become conscious of it so we could contemplate it and figure out, how do I use what I just received in my life? So thus the beginning of the prayer, Our Father, in the Lord's Prayer, okay? This beginning of the Lord's Prayer is very significant. The use of the term Father by Jesus was designed to break down the barrier that causes the perception of separation between our personal mind and God mind, okay? Now, a lot of times we might say, I don't think there is a separation between my mind and God mind. But again, you, as we move on through this lesson, you begin to find that there are times when you just feel you can't really tap into that idealistic God, consciousness of God mind, okay? And you feel this separation. So we want to break down that separation, thus removing the notion that we are separate and apart from God. And with this prayer, Jesus was teaching us that we each have a direct link, a personal connection with God. As Jesus expressed it, I and the Father are one. Okay. Now, Dr. Errico explains, thus we proclaim and confess through the opening line of the Lord's Prayer, our union with God and with each other, with whom we are all children of God. This is God's way. This is the way of our divine Father who is everywhere present. Okay. So now, the next line, who art in heaven, Jesus was quite clear on this subject that the power and presence of God is eternally within us and in the midst of us. To emphasize this, we read in Luke 17:21, and Jesus said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. And in some interpretations say, in the midst of you, right? Now, Robert Browning said, we have to come to know that the kingdom of God is within us so that we can release into our lives its imprisoned splendor, okay? Robert Browning is saying, once we become conscious of the fact that the kingdom of God is within us, then we can begin to release that into our lives, into the lives of others, okay? Thus, the idea of prayer being to set a trap for God, to capture the divine impulse and guidance, which becomes the practical application of spiritual principles for living our lives, okay? So the next line is, hallowed be thy name. Now, a metaphysical interpretation of these words is, wholeness is thy nature. A lot of unity people know that. When you say, hallowed be thy name, we're saying wholeness is thy nature. To pray wholeness is thy nature teaches us that in reality, all there is God. Because wholeness is God's nature. And God's nature is indivisible, cannot be divided. So that means that we cannot be separated from God. Okay? Another way of looking at this line is, holy is thy name. Meaning the very thought of God will invoke healing in your mind, body, and affairs. As I do often, I inhale, God is, I exhale, I am. That helps me become aware of this divine presence within myself. And so we are called to begin our prayers by appreciating the loving presence of God within us as the power that releases and expresses wholeness in our mind, body, life, and affairs. So again, we go back to, it's not really that you have to ask, and yes, we are told to ask, and in the beginning, that's what we do, we ask, but then we want to reach a state of consciousness where we know, okay? We're striving to not ask something as if it is separate from us and hoping it will give it to us, but we want to be in a consciousness where we realize that we are very much in that which we are asking for, and it's just about a matter of us being able to accept it, okay? And we do this every time when we speak and forth the hallowed name of God, which is I am, okay? So the next line in the Aramaic prayer of Jesus, the Lord's Prayer, is "Thy kingdom come." Now, I'm reading through all of the interpretations of the Aramaic, the Greek, and the Hebrew meaning of kingdom. In the final analysis, I found that kingdom refers to God's presence in our lives. Kingdom refers to God's presence in our lives. So when we pray, "Thy kingdom come," we are asking for God to be involved in our lives as divine guidance that will help us harmoniously negotiate the many things that happen in our lives. Okay. However, it is important to realize that God's involvement in our lives can be so subtle that sometimes it makes it hard to detect that we are already receiving the divine guidance we need. Okay. This is why taking constant moments to just be still. Breathe in, God is. Breathe out, I am. And just listen while you're doing that, okay? You're listening for that guidance. We always are really listening to that. Pray constantly, okay? Pray without ceasing. So this verse, "Thy kingdom come," is an affirmative prayer. It is our effort to call into our consciousness the awareness of God's presence in our lives. "Thy kingdom come." Stuff comes up, we say, "Thy kingdom come." We bring that awareness into whatever is going on in our lives, okay? And instead of begging God to supply our needs, we're simply now affirming that it's already been given. Okay, that's the consciousness we're moving towards. So the next line is, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now, according to Dr. Errico, Rocco Errico, the literal translation of this verse from Aramaic to English is, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." He said the literal interpretation is, "Let your wish, desire, be as it is throughout the universe, also on earth." Okay? Now, usually we think of the word will, okay, as something that is willful, something that is forced upon us. But in this case, in Aramaic, the words for will, the words for will in Aramaic are wish, desire, delight, pleasure. So when we understand the will of God as God's desire for a pleasurable life for us, its meaning becomes clearer. Okay? And as it's recorded in Luke 12:32, "Fear not, little flock, because it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Okay? Now the next line, "Give us this day our daily bread." Now, there is the obvious meaning of bread as food, okay? That just comes to our mind. But symbolically, it also represents ideas and prosperity. Give me this day my daily bread. Let's make it personal. Give me this day my daily bread. We're asking for ideas and ideas about prosperity and things that are going on in our lives. So in other words, we're asking God to provide us with ideas so we will prosper. And in addition, in Aramaic, bread also refers to teaching and understanding. So give me this day my daily bread. I'm asking for a teaching about what I'm going through, what I'm to learn from this, how am I to go through this, and I'm asking for understanding. Okay. So we're asking God to teach us and to give us understanding of our life, of ourselves, of each other, as well as an insight into the meaning of what occurs in our lives on a daily basis. Why me, Lord? It's the answer to that question. And it's our job to mentally and emotionally accept our daily bread of abundance, love, guidance, and perfect health. Okay? These are our gifts from God. So these attributes are our daily bread by virtue of our oneness with God. These attributes are our daily bread, what we just read about perfect health and guidance and so forth. They are our daily bread by virtue of our oneness with God. When we truly know this, we will claim our inheritance and the spiritual nourishment and the power it represents. Right? And this next line is a doozy. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Okay. Now, according to Rocco Errico, another way of translating this verse from the Aramaic is, free us from our offenses, as we also have freed our offenders. Right? This is why I say this is a doozy. This is a hard one for a lot of us. So this verse is a two-way street, because not only do we want to be freed from the consequences of our sins, but we must be willing to free first, meaning forgive those who feel who have offended us. Okay? And whereas we're quick to ask for forgiveness, we may not be so quick to forgive others. So spiritually speaking, okay, a consciousness of debt is a consciousness filled with resentment and victimization, right? When we feel others owe us an apology or somehow they need to make amends for something they have done to us, we can actually feel paralyzed by this debt we hold over them. And we can be of no help in the work of creating the kingdom of heaven consciousness within us as long as we feel mentally, emotionally, spiritually paralyzed, waiting for others to pay the debt we feel they owe us. Our forgiveness, the whole idea of forgiveness, when we are able to forgive and let go and let God, it revitalizes our heart and emotions. It releases any inner tension and bondage that may plague our mind and our soul. So through forgiveness, we release others and we release ourselves. And through forgiveness, we live in self-compassion and self-acceptance. You know, knowing and practicing this vital truth allows us to live in divine contentment. So we will always be forgiven our debts as long as we keep our own channel of forgiveness open and clear of any sense that anyone owes us anything. I told you that was a doozy. So the next line in the Aramaic prayer, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, metaphysical Christians have difficulty with this verse, feeling God would never lead us into temptation. However, a more accurate interpretation of the original Aramaic, remember this prayer was originally written in Aramaic and then translated into other languages, right? But in its original Aramaic, it says, and do not let others enter into temptation, but deliver us from our own error. Okay? And do not let us enter into temptation, but deliver us from our own error. Okay? Now, for further interpretation, it boils down to keep me out of trouble. Right? Lord, keep me out of trouble. All right? Or prevent me from entering harmful circumstances. And that's a good one. Prevent me from entering harmful circumstances. You know, it's important for us to note that God never leads us into temptation, nor will God tempt us in any way. Even when we receive divine intuition, it's just being given gently to us. Whether we accept it or not, it's totally up to us. Okay? Because see, we know that God is light, life, and love. So ask yourself, how can light lead us into darkness? Okay. So the last line of this wonderful prayer is, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And the term amen in Aramaic means sealed in faithfulness. Okay. So this verse could read, for yours is the kingdom, the counsel, the energy, the song, and the praise throughout all the ages. And this is sealed in faithfulness. So this is the final attunement in this wonderful prayer. Attunement meaning, again, that which brings our mind, body, soul, and spirit into perfect harmony, harmonious relationship with God. So let's end by affirming this final attunement together as we prepare for Pamela's meditation. It says, I spend this day appreciating God as the energy of all life, expressing everywhere. The abundance in my life is God's kingdom in expression. The love and creativity in my life are God's power in expression. The beauty and joy in my life are God's glory in expression. I am one with all that God is, and I am so grateful. Thank you, God. All right? And let's all end with amen, which means we are sealed in faithfulness. And so it is. Now we'll have meditation with Pamela.
So today, this is a special meditation for Labor Day and also for prayer and service. As we prepare for meditation, take a moment to deeply breathe in and out. Relax your body from your toes to the top of your head. You may close your eyes or take a downward gaze if you wish. On this Labor Day weekend, we pause to remember all the souls who have labored for themselves, each other, and on our behalf. As your body relaxes a little more, take the words you hear as your own. When the sun rises to bring in the new day, I remember those who descend into the earth. Their work begins in darkness, pulling from the earth the resources we steward. I remember those who work inside a building away from the light and brightness of the day. Those who work outside in the harsh elements of our world, the bitter cold and sweltering heat of extremes. We remember those who do not have a job to go to, who are struggling to meet the needs of their daily living expenses, for whom the day becomes long and arduous. We pray with them and for them. As the sun sets to bring in the evening of rest, I remember those who work at night, those who participate in unsafe and dangerous work. I pray for a renewed sense of dignity in their lives and in their work. God, in your goodness, you have made a home for the worker. Make a place in my heart for compassion to the men and women who labor timelessly for basic necessities. Ensure a place for the men and women who are struggling to find work. Grant me your wisdom to greet and care for those who are unable to work due to illness or circumstances that prevent their participation. Be with the children who are unable to run and play, but instead must put in a hard day's work to help their family afford to eat and to live. Be with me, Holy Spirit, as I go about the busyness of my work. Hold me accountable, not only for my actions, but most importantly, to each of my neighbors. May we continue to work together to bring about peace, compassion, and understanding. Prayer is service. It is service to others and to ourselves. When we pray affirmatively, we serve God and each other. God is always the best in each of us. What better service could there be? For the next few moments, I place myself in your love and deepen my time in the silence. We thank you, gracious Spirit, that you have heard our prayers this morning and that you have answered them as you always do. And now, Unity Family, as you return from this time of meditation and re-enter your day, we give thanks in the name and nature of our elder brother and way-shower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is and forever shall be. Amen. Mm-hmm.
like that. That was really acknowledging Labor Day and all the folks. That was good. Yeah.
Thank you. Your talk was good, too.
Thank you. So, this is a time we, you know, we talked a lot in this prayer about the abundance of God, you know, the blessings of God, our lives moving in harmony and rhythm with God. And, you know, that's how all of the blessings that we have in our lives have unfolded, even if we weren't aware that that's what we're doing. But let's be mindful now of the blessings that we have in our lives as we say our prosperity prayer together. Divine love through me blesses and multiplies all that I am, all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive. Thank you for all the blessings you provide for me and through me. Amen.
Amen.
And, you know, the next blessing we do is our offering blessing. It's for just being thankful for all of the blessings that come in, even from different parts of the country, from all of you who watch on YouTube and, you know, who are in person and in the center and, you know, that support Unity Center of Light. We are so thankful for all those blessings. And we all contribute to Unity Center of Light. So holding your offering in your mind, in your hand, in your spirit, let's say our offering blessing together. We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light. Amen.
Amen.
And you have light notes.
Yes. So light notes for today, Sunday, September the 3rd. The Book Light Book Club will be discussing the book by Marianne Williams called The Age of Miracles, Embracing the New Midlife. They'll have virtual discussion on Zoom at 1:30 p.m. today. And today begins our Unity Center of Light Prayer Month in conjunction with Unity World Day of Prayer. We will focus on prayer and meditation all month long and celebrate the power and presence of affirmative prayer. Each week, different aspects of prayer and meditation will be examined and discussed. You may still participate by joining us in person at the church office. Please check your e-newsletter to see the hours. Then Sunday, September the 17th, our special guest speaker is the Reverend Linda Martella-Witset. She'll be sharing with us Prayer on the Ledge via Zoom. Questions you may have about prayer. How do I trust in the midst of distressing circumstances? Or how do I thrive when I am weakened by disillusionment? These questions and more can be answered when you learn about the pivotal power of prayer. Don't miss this inspiring message and lesson. That concludes our announcements.
All right, so...
What time is it? It's now time to bless the path that we each will walk this week. We're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal,
and
gusto together.
I go forward
in the Spirit of the Lord. Knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous, and I am grateful.
All right.
Amen.
And now our prayer for protection together.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine, and all is well, and that's the truth.
All right. So it's been our pleasure to bring you this service today. We hope to see you next week in person. Okay, if I didn't say it earlier.
We hope to see you a little bit later in the Zoom session.
yeah. So other than that, have a wonderful week. Again, if you've watched this all the way through and you're new to us and you're saying, well, how do I get that Zoom link? Remember, go to unitycenteroflight.org. All right, and that's where you can go do that. So other than that, we just wish you a wonderful week and say blessings to all. Bye-bye.
Make it a great day. Bye-bye.
Yeah.